بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. هذا هو الشريط الأول من الترجمة الإنجليزية لكتاب الرقم 7 ومكانته في المعتقدات الدينية والمأثورات الشعبية وفي التاريخ واللغة. Number 7. Its significance in religious beliefs, popular traditions, history and languages. Written by Mustafa Amin Jaheen. Translated by Baha Al-Najjar, PhD. This book will be read by Ahmed Azzat. Dedication. To the memory of my parents, to my own beloved kids, Majid and Maggie. May Allah Almighty bless them. To my professors, colleagues and friends who have helped me to make this work come into existence. Mustafa. Some numbers have special significance that cannot be easily interpreted. Number 7 is perhaps the most prominent of them. It has a special significance in Islamic traditions, the beliefs of other religions, the traditions of different people all over the world, some events in history, and some linguistic structures. Number 7 in Islamic traditions. 7 heavens and 7 earths. In the Holy Quran, God exalted, He said, It is He who hath created for you all things that are on earth. Then He turned to and made them into 7 firmaments, and of all things He hath perfect knowledge. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, And we have made above you 7 tracts, and we are never unmindful of our creation. Ibn Uyayna wrote, 7 tracts mean 7 heavens. Allah is He who created 7 firmaments, and of the earth a similar number. Through the midst of them all descends His command, that ye may know that Allah has power over all things, and that Allah comprehends all things in His knowledge. No want of proportion wilt thou see in the creation of the Most Gracious. So turn thy vision again. Seest thou any flaw? See ye not how Allah has created the 7 heavens, one above another? And have we not built over you the 7 firmaments? In his book, Our Life in Heaven, Rashid Zakaria Mahmoud inquires about the nature of the heaven mentioned in the Holy Quran and the system of its being. Is it in the form of tracts, one above the other, from the first to the 7th? Then, what is above the 7th heaven? Certainly, each one has its own special nature and being, which is basically independent of all other aspects of creation. In response to this question, some believe that heavens are not mere height. Heavens, rather, refer to difference in the nature of being, whose aspects dominates its perfectness. Each heaven is in itself a unique realm in the universe. Its existence is limitless, exactly like our material world. So, it can be said that there are 2 limitless realms in being. As far as the realm differs in nature and the principles of its being, there would come into being a different and limitless realm, which has its own nature and codes that would render it completely different from other realms. Like the material world, the first heaven's elements dominate the limitless universe. The same rule applies to the second, the third, the fourth, etc. Sheikh Tantawi Johari, in an interpretation of this verse, Allah is He who created seven firmaments, and of the earth a similar number, mentions in his book Al-Jawahir, the Jewels, Allah created a number of earths similar to that of heavens. However, this does not necessitate countability. If you say that you and your brother have two horses to ride, this does not mean that you have no other horses, but it assumes that you may have other horses, perhaps over 1,000 horses. In this respect, astronomers refer that the least number of Earths orbiting around the great suns, which are called stars, is by no means less than 300 million Earths. This is presumptive thought. No one claimed to have seen or affirmed such things except the spiritualists. They claim that they know too many over-inhabited planets to be counted, and that their inhabitants are as proportionately uncountable as ants on our planet. In his book Islam in the Era of Science, Al-Ghamrawi Muhammad Ahmed mentions the interpreters who were interested in philosophy, like Al-Fakhr al-Razi, have interpreted the Quran verses that are about the creation of the universe in a way which is similar to the Greeks' opinions as regards astronomy. Sometimes al-Razi tried to adopt a special viewpoint. To him, the seven heavens are the seven orbs referred to by the Greeks. They believed that there were an eighth and a ninth orb which may be the source of movement. Al-Fakhr al-Razi thought that determining the number of heavens in the Holy Quran as seven does not mean that there might not be other heavens other than the seven ones. What is peculiar about that is that such interpreters seem to have subdued the clearly stated and precise verses in what they have believed to be as wisdom. And there must not be any difference between Islamic doctrine and wisdom, as they thought. They should have purified philosophy by means of the content of the Holy Quran. There has been no other source whatsoever, other than the Holy Quran, to state the number of heavens as seven in such a clear, distinct statement. This has been mentioned in the Holy Quran several times. These interpreters should have adhered to the text no matter how different it is from the Greek philosophy, which the Muslims call it wisdom. On the contrary, they dare to mention that number seven, as attributed to heavens, is insignificant. Up to this moment, we do not know what the seven heavens are. No matter how technologically advanced we are. In the past, it was not discovered that the sky is dark above the atmosphere, even though the sun is rising. Except almost 10 centuries after the revelation of the Holy Quran verses, which made this fact quite prominent. Consequently, those interpreters should have turned to the Holy Quran to find an interpretation for the number of heavens, since it was not possible to find it through science. Had they done so, they would have come to the right conclusion. The right interpretation would by no means be far-fetched. It sought through the linguistic meanings and the related Quran verse. Al-Ghamrawi continued saying, Since there are six earths other than our earth and a heaven for each earth, there undoubtedly should be six heavens other than that for our earth. There, then, must be a heaven for each earth. Then he inquires whether this meaning is far-fetched, or this meaning imposes other meanings on the verses. This is meant for those who are afraid to seek the connection between the Quran verses, which are related to the creation of the universe, and the well-established and verified facts of modern science. If the Holy Quran surpassed modern science by stating some facts about the universe which have not been discovered only several centuries after the revelation of the Quran, like the speedy movement of the sun, which is different from the one which results in the sequence of day and night, there would be no wonder when the Holy Quran states other facts which have not yet been discovered, like the existence of some sort of life on other planets like that which exists on the earth, and that there are seven earths and seven heavens. Sayyid Qutb, in his interpretation of the 12th verse in the surah number 65, Surah Talaq, Divorce, on his book, In the Shades of the Qur'an, Fi Dhilal al-Qur'an, said, We do not know anything about the seven heavens, their significance, dimensions, and areas. The same is said about the seven earths. Our earth might be one of them, and all about the rest is up to Allah's knowledge. The phrase, a similar number, could mean that this earth is of the same origin of heavens, so it is similar to them in structure and qualities. At any rate, there is no need to apply these verses to what we discover by means of science, simply because we have not mastered the universe through science. So, it is not appropriate to say that that is exactly what is meant by the Quran. We cannot say that except when we really know everything about the whole universe, and this will never happen. Consequently, it would be better to make use of the indications of this fact in its psychological domain, meaning to increase or expand our mental concept about the universe in a true way that would not contradict with our belief. This indication about this limitless universe, seven heavens and seven earths, would make us recognize a sign of the Creator's ability and the expansion of His universe. It is this expansion that makes this earth look extremely small. Then, how about something existent on it? Some events taking place on it, or some money spent by a husband for his wife? The destruction of the Ad people. Number 7 has been mentioned in the Quranic context relating to the destruction inflicted on the Ad nation, the people of the Prophet Hud, peace be upon him. The Holy Quran says, And the Ad, they were destroyed by a furious wind, exceedingly violent. He made it rage against them 7 nights and 8 days in succession, so that thou couldst see the whole people lying overthrown in its path, as if they had been roots of hollow palm trees tumbled down. It has been related that that wind has torn those people into pieces. It would penetrate one's clothes, carry him up, and when he would be thrown dead, and then he would be thrown dead on his head. The Prophet Hud and the believers stayed untouched in a barn. In the Holy Quran, So when our decree issued, we saved Hud and those who believed with him by special grace. From us we saved them from a severe chastisement. In the Egyptian Pharaoh's vision, number 7 has been a vision in the verses which relate to the vision of the Egyptian Pharaoh, who is called by some interpreters Ar-Rayyan ibn al-Walid. In the Holy Quran, the king of Egypt said, I do see in a vision 7 fat kine, whom 7 lean ones devour, and 7 green ears of corn, and 7 others withered, O ye chiefs. Expound to me my vision, if it be that ye can interpret visions. The Holy Quran relates how the Prophet Joseph, peace be upon him, constructed it. God exalted, he says, Joseph said, For 7 years shall ye diligently sow, as is your wont, and the harvest that ye reap, ye shall leave them in the ear, except a little of which ye shall eat. Then will come after that period 7 dreadful years, which will devour what ye shall have laid by in advance for them, all except a little which ye shall have specially guarded. Thanks to Joseph's wisdom and his thorough management, those 7 dreadful years passed and the people of Egypt were rescued from the famine. Those years were even called years of Joseph. This expression was used as a proverb to refer to hardship and famine. Hundreds of years later, the people of Al-Madinah had a similar expression, years of Khalid, also referring to certain hardship and famine. During the 7 years of Khalid ibn al-Harith's governorship in Al-Madinah, its people had experienced a famine which had been so hard that it had driven people to emigrate to Asham, Syria. The number of the companions of the cave. In the Holy Quran, God exalted is He says, Some say they were 3, the dog being the 4th among them. Others say there were 5, the dog being the 6th. Doubtfully, guessing at the unknown. Yet others say that there were 7, the dog being the 8th. Say thou, My Lord, knoweth best their number. It is but few that know their real case. Enter not therefore into controversies concerning them, except on a matter that is clear, nor consult any of them about the affair of the sheepers. An-Nuwayri mentioned, It has been said, Allah knows the truth that they were 7. Abdullah ibn Abbas, Prophet's cousin and companion, knew their names. Ibn Abbas said, It is but a few that know the real case, and I am among those few. Namely, they were Martellus, Nannus, Danius, Serion, Statellus, Quelselminus, and Tamlica. The last was the one they sent with the money to the town to buy food. The 7 oft-repeated verses. In the Holy Quran, And we have bestowed upon thee the 7 oft-repeated verses and the Grand Quran. Also, Allah has revealed from time to time, Allah has revealed the most beautiful message in the form of a book consistent with itself, yet repeating its teaching in various aspects. The skins of those who fear the Lord tremble, threat. Then their skins and their hearts do soften to the remembrance of Allah. Such is the guidance of Allah. He guides there with whom He pleases. But such as Allah leaves to stray can have none to guide. In his interpretation of this verse, Abdullah ibn Abbas, may Allah be pleased with them both, said that the seven repeated were the seven long surahs, Al-Baqarah, Al-Imran, Al-Nisa, Al-Ma'idah, Al-An'am, Al-A'raf, and Al-Anfal, together with At-Tawbah, or Bara'ah. These last two surahs were not separated by the usual opening sentence, "In the name of Allah, most gracious, most merciful." And that is why they were considered by some scholars as one surah. These surahs were called repeated because they included rules, wisdom, and legislations were repeated therein. On the other hand, it is said that this verse is Makki, has been revealed in Mecca, and nothing of the seven mentioned surahs has been revealed in Medina after Hijra, the Prophet's migration to Medina. It has also been mentioned in Hadith, a statement said by Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the Fatiha, the opening chapter, is the seven repeated verses. It has been mentioned that it is so called because the Fatiha includes seven ayat, verses, which have to be recited in each rak'ah, round of prayer. It has also been said that it is so called because Fatiha has been reserved to be revealed for the Muslim nation only and not to any other nation. In Hajj, pilgrimage, rites. Number 7 is quite apparent in Hajj rites. In Tawaf, touring around the Kaaba 7 times, following the procedures of the Prophet Ibrahim, peace be upon him, and in Sa'i, walking 7 times to and fro the two hills, Safa and Marwa, following the procedures of Ibrahim's wife, Hajar, the mother of Ismail, peace be upon him. It is also apparent in throwing the 7 jamrats, pebbles thrown on 3 stone pillars near Mecca, following the procedures of Ibrahim, peace be upon him. Ibn Abbas said, when Ibrahim, peace be upon him, came to the rites place, the devil, Satan, appeared to him where Jamratul Aqaba is located. Ibrahim threw them with 7 pebbles until he sank in earth. This is why throwing the jamrat is one of the pilgrimage rites. The reward of spending the way of money in Allah's path, charity. In the Holy Quran, Allah the Almighty has said, the parable of those who spend their wealth in the way of Allah is that of a grain of corn. It groweth 7 ears, and each ear hath 100 grains. Allah giveth manifold increase to whom He pleaseth, and Allah careth for all, and He knoweth all things. The number of the hell's gates. The number of the hell's gates has been determined as 7 in the Holy Quran, which reads, and verily hell is the promised abode for them all. To it are 7 gates, for each of those gates is a special class of sinners assigned. The 7 readings. Ibn Abbas reported Allah's Messenger as saying, Jibril, read the Quran, the Holy Quran, 1 reading for me. I reconsidered it. I kept asking for more. He gave me more until there had been 7 readings. The word reconsidered, as has been reported in the hadith in Muslim's collection of hadith, means, I said, make it easier, for my nation cannot bear it. Also, I kept asking for more, means that Allah's messenger kept asking Jibreel to ask Allah, the Almighty, for more readings for the sake of easiness. Jibreel did, and Allah increased the readings to 7. Ubay ibn Ka'b reported that Allah's messenger was near a spring of water in the neighborhood of Bani Ghifar. Jibreel, peace be upon him, came to the Prophet and said, Allah commands thee to recite the Holy Quran for your nation in one reading. Allah's messenger replied, I pray for Allah's pardon and forgiveness. My nation cannot bear it. Jibreel came a second time and said, Allah commands thee to recite the Holy Quran in 3 readings. Allah's messenger replied, I pray for Allah's pardon and forgiveness. My nation cannot bear it. He came once more and said, Allah commands thee to recite the Holy Quran to your nation in 7 readings. Whatever reading they use, they will have used the right. At-Tabarani reported that Umar, may Allah be pleased with him, heard the man reading the Quran in a reading different from his own reading. They argued and referred to Allah's messenger. The man asked, O Allah's messenger, haven't you taught me this reading? Allah's messenger said, Yes. Then Umar was then psychologically impressed. But Allah's messenger knew it in Umar's facial expressions. Allah's messenger hit Umar at his chest and said, O Allah, keep Satan away from him. Then Allah's messenger said, The Holy Quran has been revealed in 7 readings. All of them are satisfactory, or right. 7 readings means 7 dialects. Umar reported, The Quran has been revealed in the dialect of Modar. Modar comprised 7 tribes. Namely, they were Hudayl, Kinana, Qais, Dabba, Taym al-Rabab, Asad ibn Khuzaymah, and Quraysh. Ibn Abbas has reported, the Holy Quran has been revealed in 7 dialects, 5 of them for Al-Ajz from Hawazin, and the other 2 for the rest of the Arabs. Al-Ajz were Sa'd ibn Bakr, Jashm ibn Bakr, Madrab ibn Muawiyah, and Thaqif. They were called Alayya Hawazin. Ibn al-Jawzi comments on the readings, dialects, being 7 by saying, Many people attribute this to the 7 origins of the Arab tribes, and the classical dialects are 7. On the other hand, it has been reported that the significance of 7 is not just in number. It's rather the increase and easiness. And there is no harm in reading the Holy Quran in whatever dialect of the Arabs, owing to the fact that Allah has permitted it. It was Abu Ubaid ibn Salam who was the first to collect the readings in a book. He made them 25 readings. Others, who have compiled the same, made them 20 readings, while others have made them less than. The number Abu Bakr Ahmad ibn Musa ibn al-Abbas ibn Mujahid has confined the readings to 7 readings after 7 readers, namely they are Abdullah ibn Kathir in Mecca, Nafi' ibn Abi Ruwaym in Medina, Abu Umar ibn al-Ala in al-Basra, Iraq, Asim ibn Abi Nudud, Hamza ibn Habib al-Zayyat, Ali al-Kisai, all in al-Kufa, Iraq, and Abdullah ibn Amir in al-Sham, Syria. They have been later increased to 10 with the addition of readings of Yazid ibn al-Qaqa in Medina, Yaqub al-Hadrami in al-Basra, and Khalaf al-Bazar in Kufa.